He is the sports director at WVUA Television here in T-Town. He is Gary Harris, or as I for some reason called him at the end of our interview last week on his TV show, Jerry Harris. Gary, welcome to the program, man. How you doing?
Oh, I'll answer about anything. And I'm glad you stated, Chris, for the record, that it's homecoming here, because I want to make sure that McMoney knows I'm not en route to Western Carolina now. I'm here in Tuscaloosa for the game, so just want to make sure he's got that straight.
I'm aware of that now, Gary. I'm sorry.
Well, technically, you will be en route to the game. So
I will be.
He's got it right once. Between not knowing where you are or who you are, you would think we have absolutely, completely no clue.
Well, we're going to straighten it out today. We're going to straighten out. I'm Gary Harris. I'm in Tuscaloosa, and I'm doing your show 12 o'clock high noon on Friday, just like I always do, and excited to be here, as always.
It is much appreciated. And for those that are listening that have no clue what I'm talking about, yeah, I was on Crimson Tide Kickoff, the great show you guys do, and I mean that sincerely. It's really a well-done program and a fantastic setup that you have with the quiet in the background and taking place right there on the steps of Reese Pfeiffer, the home of telecommunication and film, and for many years the home for WVUA. But it's a great setup. And as I am finishing up my appearance on the show with you, off camera, as I told you the other day, Jerry Duncan, the Alabama legend, appears out of nowhere and waves at me, completely throws me off. And so you thank me for being on, and instead of saying your name correctly, I screw up and say thanks, Jerry. So I appreciate you not slugging me right there live on television.
Well, you know, I guess that's how tuned in I was to what you were saying, other than my name, because I never saw Jerry Duncan, and I didn't realize that you had called me Jerry. So I would have had no clue about either one if you hadn't have, you know, clued me in after the interview. But that's great. That's the great thing about Gary and Jerry. They're kind of interchangeable, and I doubt anybody even noticed. But now that people know the backstory, and with me kidding about being on the road to Western Carolina, if people haven't listened to us every week, I think McMoney had me en route to Arkansas when I was still here in Tuscaloosa, and had me en route to Baton Rouge when I was still here. So we were just kidding about that, too. So now everybody knows about all our little inside jokes, and we can move on.
Well, here's the dirty little secret, too. When you say you weren't in tune to the fact that that I had called you by the wrong name, the dirty secret in broadcasting is when you are doing a live show like the one you're doing, you're playing traffic cop, and you've got somebody talking in your ear as a producer, you're trying to pay attention to what your guest is saying, but you're also trying to figure out what's next. Actually listening ain't the easiest thing to do when you're doing an interview like that.
You're right, Chris. When people are giving you time cues and want to break you this and got this come, you're right. But we manage, and we've been doing it for a long time, but you're right. And I always make sure, now in your case, you could have dealt with it. But a lot of times, sometimes I'll forget to tune it down in the guest headset, and we'll have somebody on that knows nothing about television or radio, and they're listening to back talk in the control room, and they're looking at me like, what in the world's going on?
We've got planes landing here, air traffic controller. Hey, this weekend, outside of the fact that it's homecoming, you want to stay healthy, and you definitely just want to avoid not making sure this thing is close. It's a little tough with the Iron Bowl looming here in a week and a half.
It is, Chris. You know, they're very difficult games, I think, because, you know, I got to be the media guest on Coach Saban's show last night, radio show, and, you know, that's what he was really tuned into and has been all week, is that, you know, you got to play the games as they come, you know, and you can't play the Iron Bowl until it gets here. This is an important game. As Coach Stallings used to say, if you don't think these are big games, just lose one of them. And, right. You know, I don't think Alabama's in any danger of that, but you're right. You want to come out of it healthy. You want to be sharp. You know, the first team guys, for as long as they're out there, you want them to play well, and to do that, they need to prepare well this week, and that's the challenge for the coaching staff. And also, you do fear injury. You know, you fear injury any game. It's always a possibility, but particularly in a game where you know you're better than the opponent and you know what you've got coming up next week and hopefully the week after that in Atlanta and then a few weeks after that in the playoffs. So, you know, you don't want to lose anybody, but at the same time, it is a football game. You have to respect the opponent. And to respect the opponent, you really have to give them your best effort as well. You know they're going to give you their best effort. I mean, they've got nothing to lose. They're playing for pride. I think the scores in these games, the three times they played, I think have been 52-0, 49-0, and 52-6. So, you know, they only scored 6 points in 12 quarters of football. So they're probably looking at it as, hey, if we can come in here and this thing's still competitive late in the second quarter or at halftime, you know, that's a victory for us. And it would be. And it would also, you know, potentially affect Alabama, who would probably like to rest the starters in the second half, get these young guys in there, you know, finish the game strong and get on to Auburn. So, and it is homecoming too, as you pointed out. So it's a big weekend for a lot of people who haven't been back to campus maybe since this time last year, or haven't been to campus in years. Homecoming is an opportunity for people to come and visit. And also this will be one of the easier tickets to get because of the fact that it's Western Carolina. So you'll have a lot of people that are here maybe that haven't seen a game in a while. And as fans, you know, they want to be entertained. So you can't play the Iron Bowl until the Iron Bowl gets here. And you want to come out of this game feeling good on every different level. You want to be healthy. You want to rest some guys that need rest. But you want to be sharp. You want to execute. You want to give some young guys an opportunity for playing time. So it is a big game. And particularly for those young guys that I mentioned that maybe don't get the chance to play a lot in games, particularly this year where Alabama's had so many close games, Chris, as opposed to some other years where they played a lot of players that normally don't have an opportunity to play. So it's a big game, and I think, you know, I'm glad that you point that out, because we probably need to remind ourselves and the fans and everybody that, you know, it is a football game. It counts, and Alabama needs to be ready to play.
WVUA Sports Director Gary Harris joining us, as all of our guests do, on the Budweiser Hotline presented by Green Beverage. Just before I got out of the car at the Coliseum last night to go in and do the basketball game, I heard you talking with Tom Roberts on Coach Saban's radio show about the fact you really weren't surprised when the rankings came out and Alabama was number one in the country. What about Mississippi State staying in the top four? Did that surprise you at all?
A little, but I like it. You know, you try to apply logic to this, Chris, and you assume that's what the committee's doing. And based on logic, if you're going to put Alabama at number one, if you're going to say that beating previously ranked number one Mississippi State, an undefeated team, catapults Alabama from outside the top four to number one, then certainly logic would say that Mississippi State should only fall to number four. So I see it from that reasoning. I like it. You know, if you moved Alabama to number three, let's say, then Mississippi State's probably not in. So another way to justify keeping Mississippi State in is to put Alabama at number one and keep Mississippi State at number four. Having said that, we know this situation is certainly fluid. And, you know, if Alabama wins out, the good news to the Crimson Tide is, you know, they're playing that first semifinal game in New Orleans. But for Mississippi State, even though they're sitting there at number four, and logic would say if they went out and they beat Vanderbilt and they beat Mississippi State and they're sitting at home during the SEC championship game, that they would hold on to that number four spot. But you got Ohio State on their heels moving up with a bullet. They've got a chance, you know, to finish out their season unbeaten, win a Big Ten championship game, which Mississippi State, if Alabama takes care of its business, won't have that opportunity to play in a conference championship game. So even though they're number four right now, Chris, I don't think there's any guarantee, even if they went out, that they will stay there. So, you know, we'll just have to wait and see. But I'm happy for Mississippi State because it's have the kind of year that they've had, and then you lose to a great team on the road. You know, I know they scored a touchdown late, but it still was a five-point game. It was a competitive game, and I didn't think they deserved to fall out of the top four. So I'm glad they got to stay there, at least for now.
What are you thinking about the East and how it's going to play out? I think we're in agreement that Georgia is the best team, even with the loss they suffered this week.
Georgia's
but at
clearly
the same
the best
time,
team.
Yeah, I mean, they're really good, but at the same time, here's Missouri that just keeps winning. Do you think that will continue for them, or is Georgia going to wind up being the Western Division opponent over in Atlanta?
Well, Chris, I think Georgia's clearly the best team, and it's just, if you're a Georgia fan, you've got to be so disappointed. I think they're the one team that lines up with an SEC West-type squad in terms of talent, in terms of their depth, in terms of the line of scrimmage, the ability to run the ball. But, you know, they lost to a very mediocre South Carolina team early, and then the game against Florida, I know they happened in college football, but it's just inexplicable. I mean, I still can't wrap my arms around what happened in that game. So they don't control their own fate. You know, Missouri's the show-me state. They showed us last year that they could get to Atlanta in their second season in the SEC after a lot of people thought that, they were going to be a little bit of a punchline in this league and that Texas A&M would be the team to watch. They got to Atlanta, and here they are, wins away from Tennessee and Arkansas of doing it again. Having said that, my gut feeling is that Missouri's not going to make it. Whether it's this week against Tennessee or it's against Arkansas, I just don't think they're good enough to run the table. Now, they went into College Station this past Saturday, and I thought A&M would win that game, quite frankly. So they continue to get it done on the field. Their only loss was that humbling loss to Georgia, and I do think they've had not that Arkansas and Texas A&M are not quality teams, because we know they are, but, they're two teams from the West to not have to draw, Alabama, or not draw Mississippi State, or not draw Ole Miss. They've had the luck of the schedule a little bit, too. But I still think that Georgia is going to wind up in Atlanta. I think they're the best team, and I just don't think Missouri's going to run the table.
Florida, everybody's got a guess. Everybody's got an opinion. Have you got a strong one at all about which direction Jeremy Foley's going to go?
I do, and it's not one that's popular because everybody, I think, is just making the assumption that he's going to stay and that he's got it so good and that he's not going to leave. But I've said from the get-go that I just think Bob Stoops is where Jeremy Foley needs to turn. I know they've gone down that road before, and it didn't work out. And, here we are sitting here in Alabama like I have any clue what's going on with the Oklahoma program. But from afar, it just seems to me that maybe it's gotten stale. He's been there a long time. They won a national championship, arguably, maybe should have won one or two more. Now they've kind of hit that plateau, it seems like. After the win over the Sugar Bowl, the win in the Sugar Bowl or Alabama, they got all that boost of publicity and momentum, and Stoops seemed to be back to being Stoops, a little arrogant, and we're going to do this and we're going to do that, and they've had a disappointing season. So if I were Florida, based on the fact Foley has a prior relationship with him, he was highly popular as a defensive coordinator at a time when Florida football was the best in the conference, still has a vacation home in the state from what I understand, that's where I would go. I would knock on that door and make him tell me no one more time. After that, who knows? I mean, it certainly doesn't look like it's going to be Dan Mullen for a number of reasons. Number one, Mullen seems pretty content. And number two, it just doesn't seem like that's where Florida wants to go. I've heard Hugh Freeze's name come up, and I do think he's charismatic, and he's built the program at Ole Miss. And I wouldn't blame Florida for wanting to talk with him. But I would, if I were Florida, I would put all my eggs in the Bob Stoops basket again. If he says no, then you move on.
Yeah, and I keep hearing that the leading candidates from the state of Oklahoma, that Stoops is the guy, but that maybe Mike Gundy is a route they go, but I also keep hearing a lot of negative reaction about that. Do you think he would consider that? And if so, why do you think people think it would be such a monumentally bad hire for them?
I don't know, because Mike Gundy's got a nice track record as a head coach. There have been a lot of allegations made toward that program, fortunately for Mike Gundy in Oklahoma State. None of them have really been proven. And I know Jeremy Foley is on the record as saying they don't want anybody that has any, NCAA history, and that's another reason I don't think Rich Rodriguez will be involved with the Florida job. But, I don't know, because I think Mike Gundy has done a heck of a job. Again, this is no disrespect toward Auburn, because Auburn's got a fine program and so does Oklahoma State. But in that state, Oklahoma's kind of the Alabama and Oklahoma State is the Auburn. And, right. You're always fighting that battle. And he's fought it and won it a couple of times. And, of course, had a heartbreaking loss against OU last year, but has done it. Because I don't know why people don't think of him as a candidate at that type of program. But you're right, the popular belief seems to be that he wouldn't be a good fit, but I think he's a really good football coach, and we know he's passionate. We've seen that in his post-game press conferences, so it'll be interesting, because when all is said and done, Stoops probably will stay at Oklahoma. And I heard somebody on a national pundit say on a radio show yesterday, Chris, that he didn't think Florida had the pizzazz that it once had, and that they couldn't go after the A-list candidates anymore, that they were going to have to look at the Doc Holidays and the lower tier coaches that have success at a lower tier, and I still don't see it. I think Florida's one of the primo jobs in America, and I think any head football coach anywhere would at least have to take a look at that job if they were approached.
Yeah, I agree. The thing I did remind somebody of a couple of days ago, when you say lower tier, the only guy that has been highly successful since Spurrier was Urban Meyer, and he was at Utah, which at the time, now granted, he was the hot name, but Utah also wasn't a Pac-12 member at the time.
That's right.
So based on today's standards, Utah would have been a lower level program, but there's no question. I mean, the guy, it was Notre Dame or Florida, which tells you the guy was not a lower level coach by any stretch of the imagination. Just a minute left with you here, and I want to turn it to basketball, because Alabama, four straight games, counting the exhibition, has scored in the 80s. They are much more skilled offensively. They are obviously much better on the defensive end than a year ago, which was the primary issue last season. That's my evaluation. What about yours?
Well, I'm right with you, and I got to see most of the game last night in my office on television. Was thoroughly entertained. And we've talked about that. You know, you want to win games, but people also want to be entertained. This is an entertaining team. You know, they're playing 94 feet. They're defending. They're getting some fast break opportunities. They're getting to the basket. Last night they were knocking down some threes, and when they do that, they're going to be hard for anybody to handle it. Then you got a player like Levi Randolph, who truly is recognized as the leader of that team, not because he's going around screaming and hollering or anything like that, but he's just getting it done. And, you know, 18 at the half last night, an amazing first half shooting game in the second half. You know, they took a little bit of offense away from him, so he continued to defend. He continued to distribute the ball. I think Coleman has added and Tara too, but Coleman, just the energy that he has, the excitement that he brings, and then Ricky Tarrant, a proven scorer. We knew what he'd done at Tulane, and his ability to create contact, get to the basket, get off his shot, score the basketball, and get fouled. I mean, he's got an amazing knack. I watched him last night on the break, and he could have just probably avoided the defender and got the layup, but he went ahead and created the contact, drew the contact, got the basket, got the foul, got a three-point play. Kessens has added a lot of skilled big man. Jimmy Taylor is a defensive force who is improving offensively. So I'm right with you. I'm excited. Now, where it will all wind up, we don't know. We know the schedule's about to get a lot tougher, but it's a fun team to watch. As you said, in the 80s, every game this year, and that was a pretty good basketball team they beat last night. You know, Southern Miss, I know this is, you know, Eustace's gone and Tindall's gone, but those guys are gone because they had success there. And, right. Doc Sadler's a veteran coach. That team knows how to win. Those players have won a lot of games. And I really thought that was a nice win last night for Alabama. So I'm with you. I'm excited. I enjoyed watching them play last night. It was fun. And, ultimately winning's the goal. But at the same time, it sure is, as a fan or a broadcaster or whoever you are, to watch that team and just enjoy the kind of basketball that they're playing.
Give us the rundown for the weekend. You guys are busy, with Crimson Tide kickoff and probably everything else.
Yeah, we are loaded. Of course, we've got a big night tonight, and at 10 o'clock tonight, we've got the state high school playoff center in the quarterfinal round for classes 1A through 6A. 7A is the semifinal, so we'll have that. Then in the morning, everything's adjusted. I'm glad you mentioned that. Because of the parade, normally Crimson Tide kickoffs at 11 until noon, but we are moving everything up. Hey Coach will be from 8:30 to 9:30, the Nick Saban radio show that we broadcast on Saturday mornings. Then Crimson Tide kickoff will be from 9:30 to 10:30, because we've got the homecoming parade with Terry Saban and Lynn Brooks live at 10:30. Then tomorrow night, Sports Saturday at 10:15 with B.J. Milliken and Jen Chapman. They'll have a recap of the Alabama game and the rest of the day's football action. So, yeah, everything's jam-packed as always, just a little bit different on the time frame. And if people are watching TV in the morning, I know there's a lot of different programming options, but really tune into the homecoming parade if you get a chance. I think you'll really enjoy it.